Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Welcome back to America This Week. I'm Kevin Clark, along with Tim Reedy. We're talking with Detroit-born, Brooklyn-based artist Alphonse Borchevitz. I'm going to go home and practice that. There is no one here probably less qualified to talk about art than I am. So don't be afraid. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. Speaking of that ignorance, as I was before, I think, why is that happening? How do we improve our artistic literacy in the church? Or you find it a frustrating experience as an artist to keep running to knuckleheads like me?
You know, my son, who's 21 and he plays sports in college, I try to keep up to date with the sports page.
The least he could do.
And vice versa, I hope people can keep up with the arts page in the New York Times or whatever. And also, I think there's an inferiority complex, which you could blame sort of on the galleries, I think, because galleries are set up where you're intimidated to walk in. And
that's true. Yeah, they're scary looking.
Yeah. And people are very sort of stark and
they're stare better at dressed you. Than yeah. I am too when I go by, so I don't want to.
Well, and if you look at the price list, I mean, that probably explains it. But, you know, the gallery world got caught up in the real estate and everything. So it becomes sort of this high affluent thing. And, by the way, when I do these church projects, I make it a point to be there on Sundays for like a couple hours to sit and talk to people and perhaps disarm them of any fear they have of approaching contemporary art. You don't have to understand it. I mean, this is a feast for the eyes. It's just something to look at. And you can appreciate the color, you know, the textures, the images. And to be honest, I don't quite understand, you know, sometimes the hostility I will get, even in churches, of, you know, why this painting is so threatening. And by the way, I get a lot of affirmative responses that I'll do to threatening ones.
So just to explain, you curate art displays at art shows at the parish level.
Well, I don't curate. I mean, basically, because of my background in theology, et cetera, I've been approaching churches saying I would like to, you know, work with you and, you know, for like the Advent season or, you know, Lent or just, you know.
Just to explore some art. You use like a slideshow projector?
No, I bring the paintings in.
Actual paintings.
Now, by the way, this is a huge thing to get over, a hurdle, is a lot of times they'll invite me and say, well, we're going to put this in the basement. I'm like, no. It's going to go in the church.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, that's important.
And, you know, that's where the struggle happens. And sometimes, you know, it works. It works. I had many very positive experiences, and I had several where it didn't. It just didn't happen.
Yeah. Do you think people have such emotional attachment to their personal understanding of what Mary looks like or who Jesus was that they have trouble even having patience for someone else's appreciation of?
I mean, I think my paintings are sort of exploring is sort of a conversion of imagination. I'm not attacking the paintings they already have or the sculptures. I'm just continuing that sort of process of that creative element. The church has always fostered, we're sort of in a crisis now, but that, you know, that continuity.
We seem to have lost our nerve in terms of how to depict our sacred figures.
Is it a problem specific to this country in that, as you said, I mean, you've got the history of art and the art itself in so many churches in Europe, and yet here, I mean, unfortunately, some churches here have like a reputation as being kind of kitschy. And you know,
I would love to blame this on Calvinism somehow, if we could do that, come around to that. So does, like, for instance,
there's a great article, by the way, it's called You Can Blame Walmart on the Reformation.
Yes, excellent.
Kevin's always looking to blame Walmart.
I'm doubtful about the whole Enlightenment thing, personally. But so, you know, when you see the Laughing Jesus, for instance, does that make you cry, the Laughing Jesus, which is very popular?
I mean, culture is like an iceberg. And, you know, there's, you know, the part we see, you know, the the floats above the water. I guess I'm at sort of the deeper iceberg. And so, yeah, I can enjoy flippant art, religious art, as anyone else, but my work tends to be a little more weighty and serious. And
does it get you in trouble, like real trouble? Sometimes your icebergy art, your sub iceberg art.
Yeah, I mean it does, because I mean perhaps I can be accused of being an elitist, because I do believe there is something called fine art, and it's different from sort of just craft. Mm-hmm. And I mean those lines have blurred in sort of the cultural world. And a lot of people I know who are in sort of technologies and craft, whatever, are making a really get-go in the art world. And then the fine artists are sort of like pushed aside.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to be, not in the mainstream at all in any respect these days. In the old days, artists could count on patronage, right. Support from.
And also, people are obsessed with the moving image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their iPhones, their computer, whatever. So they have, a painting that always, as I tell my students, any painting or sculpture has what's called the pregnant moment. It's always that one moment you're expecting more of, but it never happens. And but there's so much, it really is about a conversion of imagination and the eye and silence to come back and look. And by the way, the people who, what I love about being in the churches and someone coming to see my work, they all have insights into my work that I never had. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the beauty of looking at art.
We should mention that some of your art is, people who are here in New York can go to the Church of St. Boniface in Brooklyn, which is right. Your home parish, the oratory there, and you can see some of your art there. So, now, when you are thinking about where to place your art in a church, if you're going to a parish, are there particular places you're looking for, or is it you kind of enter the space and determine it at the moment?
I look at foremost is I look for a spot where no one can move it or damage it.
Okay. Yeah.
Like when I leave, the priest
is
going to
a very practical approach.
Yeah, where like someone's going to move it.
Yeah.
So I hang it maybe really high, so they're not going to go up there again and get it.
To be an overly efficient usher, yeah. Moving your art someplace.
It really is sort of heartbreaking how just things I would assume are a given that I have to explain to people about paintings. Like, you don't clean it with a brush. I mean, a sweeper. Again, I think that's a wonderful sort of harmony of paintings, fresh paintings in churches, and that silence. Because I really don't think you can get that silence anymore sort of walking into a Chelsea gallery.
Yeah. I was chased out of the Art Institute on Family Day because I brought my family, and within 5 minutes, the docents had basically said, you can't bring your kids in here. I said, but it's Family Day. And then I walked into a few of the other gallery rooms, and the adults were making three times the noise my children were making.
Right.
I guess since we're used to being quiet in churches, actually during liturgy too often, you don't have that problem with your art. People approach it in silent contemplation, more or less.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to get to a sense of a phony reverence, mm-hmm. but just sort of, put your phone down and look at the painting.
Yeah.
There is a mystery to artworks, and I think it's for you to sort of find it in your own psyche and soul.
Now, some artists in the recent past have, in experimenting with how to depict sacred figures, got into a lot of trouble, and there were some explosive controversies. I think I've heard one in a long time. Is that a good sign, or is it a sign that people aren't paying any attention whatsoever to
well, like for example,
religious art?
When the last 10 years, it was a Chris Ofili was putting elephant
right.
dung on
the Virgin Mary.
Virgin Mary, and that got a huge backlash.
Well, he had elephant dung as sort of supports for the painting.
Yeah, it was.
And actually, I didn't mind that at all. I mean, coming from Africa and what that meant, sort of the earthly support of the revelation. I was upset actually with the painting itself, which if I remember correctly, it was made out of sort of cutouts, collage from porno magazines.
Oh. Yeah,
and no one complained about that. Mm-hmm. They were complaining about the elephant dung. But, as Flannery O'Connor said, bad images of Jesus or Mary are better than none at all.
Right. Well, you would prefer people experiment and try to engage the tradition in a new way than just ignore it, which is often the problem.
Well, you don't want people to have an art degree in order to be able to have an opinion, but it seems like there should be some maybe patience with artists or a happy medium there.
Well, there's these two famous Russian artists who came to New York in the 80s, Melanin, and I can't remember their names right now. And they always said in Russia, in the Soviet Union, artists would be persecuted. And they said after a couple of years here, it was much worse here in the U.S. Because in the U.S., they don't persecute you. They ignore you.
They ignore you, right?
So
it's sometimes, the only time, unfortunately, we hear about it is when controversy generates about a specific piece of art that may or may not have some government funding or something along those lines.
And then you actually go and see the piece of art and you go, I don't get it. Like, why? Or you appreciate what the artist's intent was that maybe got missed in all the shouting.
The shouting, exactly. So we want to mention that you've got a show coming up in October that in Washington, D.C., correct?
Yeah, there's a show at Wellesley Seminary in Washington, D.C., from October to December. And if by any chance anybody from Catholic University in Washington's listening, you're right next door.
Okay, you're right.
I'll happily take the show next door to you in December.
In the same neighborhood. Good point. Is it? Can you go through some of the paintings that are included there? Is there a theme to the show?
There is, actually. There's sort of the theme is actually the beginning comes last.
I can see that picture here on your website. Yeah.
And there's sort of the birth of Christ and the death of Christ, the birth of Mary and the death of Mary. So these bookends. And there is also this sort of honeycomb theme, which is sort of throughout my work, of sort of continuity, community, transcendence, etc.
Very interesting. Well, again, that's at Wellesley Seminary down in Washington, D.C. in October. And I assume on your website people can learn about that.
Right.
Good. Well, and here in New York, you can go to St. Boniface to view some of your work and your website. Do you find that the web has been a good tool for you in order to get your art out there, maybe even selling your art online?
It has, actually. And those of you who are intimidated by my spelling of my name, I always tell my children, once you spell your name, you know the alphabet.
Right, exactly.
And my parents actually shortened my name when I was in middle school.
Oh, it was longer?
No, they shortened it from Boris Savage to Boyer.
Oh, okay.
And at college, I finally realized I wasn't French, and I went back and changed it back.
You went back. Okay. Oh, good for you.
But a lot of my galleries wanted me to change it back to something shorter.
Oh, interesting. So we were talking before about the gallery experience and the intimidating nature of that. Is the online world maybe breaks down some of those walls?
It does. And by the way, I don't want to give a bad name to all galleries. I mean, some very good galleries and still very welcoming. But the online world it's more personal. It sort of cuts through that sort of middle level bureaucracy. And
right. I've enjoyed looking at some places that sell paintings online because it's like I don't have the time to go to a gallery, but just to see what kind of art people are doing. And obviously it's not the same experience as seeing it in person, but you get to see a lot more than you otherwise would.
I mean, as someone who was represented by a number of galleries, it would not work to try to do these church projects with the galleries. It would be too cumbersome, and there's so many fragile egos, it just would not happen.
Thank God you don't have to worry about that at the parish level.
Well, the important thing at any parish level or in any university and perhaps even here is become friends quickly with the secretary and the janitor.
Right. And they'll treat your work well, right? Yeah. Exactly. Well, and, you know, I've seen some of your work in person, and some of it is quite large. So you have a big studio that you work in.
Well, I mean, that's the unfortunate part is with the real estate boom in New York, I lost my last studio.
Oh, did you lose this?
And it's almost impossible to get, working space.
Detroit is starting to look better.
It is.
I think, right?
And it's sort of like deja vu. Am I supposed to go back? And I am doing I was invited by some, I can't remember the name of it either, some group out in Western Michigan, Grand Rapids. A great guy, by the way, not galleries, but people like Chris Brewer in Grand Rapids has been very active in, highlighting the arts. And there's a foundation out there that invited me for next summer to sort of do a think tank with them. And there's actually, I think, more activism in the arts and faith in the sort of the Protestant world right now than the Catholics.
Are there other artists you would recommend people to explore who are exploring their faith through their art?
There are. I wish I would have wrote these names down. I can't remember them. But if anyone wants to email me, I'll be happy to email them back with the names. My email's on my website.
Right. I see contact here, right here. Well, it's launching my mail program. But yeah. You can go to your website right. And send Alphonse an email for more information. And again, just to highlight, the show is in October in Washington, D.C. He's got art here in New York at the Oratory in Brooklyn. So I want to thank you again for joining us and send people to your website to experience this art firsthand, because it's hard to describe on the radio.
Thank you.
Well, and Tim, your article was called An Ordinary Mystic.
Which from 2008.
Found at our website,
yes, 2008. You can look at AmericanMagazine.org. And you were just profiled by Religion News Service. Our friend David Van Biba just wrote a piece in June. So, great. Well, thanks, Alphonse. We'll take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Kaya Oakes to talk about what it means to be a godparent.
She can tell me everything I'm doing wrong.
In today's church.
Good.
You're listening to America This Week. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.